Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our text is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 23, which is a very famous one, and verse 6, which says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a wonderful promise that God has given to all believers, that God will be with us all the days of our life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us, and we will dwell in his house forever. There's nothing a Christian can lose. In this life, he's going to be with us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to protect us. He's going to bless us. He's going to use us. He's going to open doors for us. And even when we pass into eternity, we are going to dwell in the house of the Lord. We're going to dwell in his presence forever and ever and ever. What a great blessing it is. What a great time to be a believer in Christ with these truths that we can count on so we can be free to serve God. And even though our society is turning against Christian principles and Christians in general, we know that we have a powerful Savior that can overcome the world, who has overcome the world, and he can help us to overcome as well as we have our faith in him, as we trust him each day to give us his wisdom, his guidance, and his direction. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Mark Perkins, who is the director of Destination Life Fellowship in Niagara Falls, New York. He's doing a phenomenal job.
Thanks, Brian. The church that we were renting the building from, the old Niagara Falls Alliance Church, came to us and said, "We'd like to donate the building to you for your ministry." And we said, that's great. How much is it going to cost?" And they said that nothing, that they wanted to donate to us just to be able to keep ministry into that area. And so we had been doing ministry there. We have a regular service on Sunday, but then we also do a clothes closet and food pantry ministry out of there. We are currently housing the Isaiah 61 project, which is a Christian community development project out of the building. We also host a Christian coffee house the third Saturday night of the month. And we see ourselves kind of as an incubator, not just a church, but if you have other ministries that want or need some space, we try and provide that. When we're not using it, why not let someone else utilize that space? So.
Sounds like a good philosophy of ministry, Mark, and we're so thankful for you and the
the call that God's put on your life, you and Ann, and the great work that you're doing there. The fact that Global Outreach has taken that project on now is a real blessing to me. And we're so thankful for you and the way God has used you. Why don't you share with our audience some of the things that God has done in people's lives through your ministry there?
A lot of our focus is to reaching out to the poor and the marginalized in the inner city of Niagara Falls. And so we deal with a lot of people that have broken lives, you know, come to us down and out. And so we try to share the love of Christ with them and just really love on them and pray for them. One of the men that we've been ministering to for about a year and a half through our closed closet ministry, his name's Nathaniel. And when Nathaniel first started coming to the ministry, to our closed closet food pantry, he had severe ulcerated diabetic sores on both legs, and the doctors were talking about having to amputate both legs above the knee. And so we just started praying for him and encouraging him, and every time he'd come in, we'd talk and we'd laugh together and pray together for God's healing. And I can report today that a year and a half later, he is 100% symptom-free. All the sores have been totally healed. He still has both legs, and he has a great prognosis from his doctor that he's been healed of those issues. And so we have that, and we have a family that comes that started through our closed closet and again through our closed closet and food pantry ministry, through our affordable Christmas ministry, and they've been coming a little over a year steadily. He is Muslim. And he grew up in the church, but converted to Islam in his early 20s, but is really struggling with this conflict between understanding what Islam truly means in his life with what a relationship with Jesus Christ means. His wife is a believer. We had the opportunity to lead his son a year ago to the Lord and baptize him last summer. And so we see these things, and he is very close. You know, he talks about how close he is to coming to know the Lord and making that commitment to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord.
We're really thankful for your ministry, Mark, and we'll continue this conversation next week. The Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We appreciate those who write into us each week because this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without prayer support and financial support of our listeners. Many have included us in their will to help us to continue this broadcast into the future. This is the oldest Christian broadcast in North America. We've been on the air for well over 90-plus years, and God has continued to bless us, and it's been primarily through the legacy gifts or people that remember us in the will that we've been able to continue this ministry. This month, we're offering a wonderful, wonderful pamphlet. It's entitled Palm Sunday to Easter, and it chronicles the last week of Jesus' life. Not only does it have a day-by-day timeline with scripture references, but it also connects them to the map of Jerusalem. And what's really a blessing, it has a clock of sorts, which chronicles the final hours of Jesus' life from his trial before Pilate to his burial. Another helpful feature shows the Roman, Jewish, and modern time frames to make sense of the sequence. It includes also some Jewish tombs of that period with artifacts, and also talks about crucifixion. It actually mentions the medical effects of scourging and the crucifixion that would have been placed on Jesus' body. It's a well thought out pamphlet that is solid and has biblical references, and it's really helpful for Bible study and to put every verse in perspective that talks about the great work that Jesus did on the cross from Palm Sunday to Easter. I really encourage you highly to get a copy of this pamphlet. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And please continue to pray for this broadcast.
Beneath the cross of Jesus I pray.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is entitled, The Lore of Corn in Egypt. I know you're going to enjoy this message. Printed copies are available upon request.
As a background to the matters I'd like to discuss with you today, may I ask you to recognize four facts which are becoming increasingly evident in 20th century society. One, our Western economic and social and political structures founded on Christian Judaic traditions are being undermined and destroyed. The process of economic and social and moral and political disintegration is becoming increasingly evident on every side. Two, our best human efforts to reverse these trends and find solutions to our problems are proving ineffective. The trends continue and our problems are getting steadily worse. Three, it is becoming clear that our only real hope of deliverance requires the intervention of a wisdom and power greater than our own. In other words, the divine intervention of God. And four, time is running out. We do not have much longer in which to make up our minds. Whether we will continue on as we are to economic and social and moral chaos, or turn for help and deliverance to the sovereign God of our fathers, whom we have largely ignored in our false confidence in our own abilities to resolve our problems. At such a time, it is worth noting that this is not the first time in history that people have faced a situation of this kind. The inspired scriptures record the example of a people in times past who experienced such divine intervention and were delivered from what seemed to be an impossible and hopeless situation. I refer to the miraculous deliverance of ancient Israel from the circumstances that threatened them with destruction in Egypt some 14 centuries before Christ. In proposing that we examine their experience, I ask you to do so not merely as a review of ancient history, but rather to discover the parallels between the circumstances in which they found themselves and our 20th century Christian Judaic civilization, that we may learn from their experience some practical lessons that will help us in finding solutions to our current problems. The ancient nation of Israel represented a people whose position differed from that of the rest of the world of that day. The difference was in their unique spiritual relationship with the living God. That relationship began when God called the patriarch Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and promised that of his descendants he would create a nation distinctly different from all others on earth. According to Scripture, they were to be a holy people unto the Lord their God, chosen by him to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that were upon the earth. To that end, God entered into a covenant relationship with Abram and his descendants, under which they were to be his chosen people, and he was to be their God. It is easy to see the parallel between their status and that of Christian men and women in this present age of God's grace. As in the case of Israel of old, the Christian today enjoys a personal relationship with the living Christ as a result of being spiritually reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. That relationship puts the Christian in a different category than those who are not members of the family and household of God and of Christ's universal church. The nation and land of Egypt is portrayed in Scripture as symbolizing a secular materialistic society in which there was little, if any, recognition of the one true God. There was lots of religion, but no meaningful relationship with or commitment to the God whom the Israelites knew in a personal way. Egypt symbolized the humanistic and materialistic philosophy of life that has become characteristic of our 20th century civilization. It is a fact of history that the people of ancient Israel were in bondage to the nation of Egypt for over 400 years. Throughout all that time, their best efforts to gain their own deliverance were futile. The situation grew steadily worse, and their future appeared hopeless. But it is also a historical fact that Israel was miraculously delivered by the divine intervention of God. In this 20th century, our Christian Judaic heritage likewise is being destroyed by the present-day forces of humanistic materialism. Our best efforts to halt and reverse the current trends are proven ineffective. In the light of what the Scriptures teach, and in the light of Israel's history, it is not unrealistic to believe that our hope, as with Israel of old, lies in the possibility of divine intervention by the same sovereign God who, as the Scriptures say, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Common sense, therefore, dictates that we at least try to discover the steps that can make such a deliverance a reality. Our first step should be to discover and understand the basic cause that gave rise to our problems in the first place. In the case of ancient Israel, the cause might appropriately have been called the lure of corn in Egypt. When God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, he gave him an all-sufficient promise and undertaking. He said to Abram, "I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God frequently repeated that promise to make certain Abram and his descendants knew that God's commitment was to be the basis of their hopes and expectations and decisions. Everything went fine until the land of Canaan was afflicted by a grievous famine, and Abram and his household began to feel the pangs of hunger. They heard that there was corn in Egypt. The lure of the corn was such that Abram left the place where God had promised him blessing and went down into the alien environment of Egypt to obtain corn. Well, he obtained corn, but while in Egypt, something of far greater significance to his future took place. While there, he took into his household an Egyptian girl named Hagar, who became a maid to his wife Sarah. Little did Abram realize that what the ultimate consequences would be. Sarah was unable to have children, and she and Abram became increasingly anxious for an heir. All of God's promises concerning his descendants hinged on Abram having a son. If God would not enable Sarah to give him an heir, they'd take care of the matter themselves. Abram and Sarah agreed that he would take Hagar as his wife. From that unholy union, a son was born to Hagar, and Abram named him Ishmael. The years passed, and God moved to fulfill his covenant promise, and Sarah bore a son to Abram in her old age and called his name Isaac. He, not Ishmael, was the promised heir through whom the nation of Israel was to be established. Ishmael resented Isaac, and Hagar took Ishmael's part against Sarah and her child Isaac, and a bitter conflict erupted between them. As a result, Abram cast Hagar and Ishmael out of his household. Years later, when Isaac grew to manhood and married, twin sons were born to Isaac and his wife Rebekah. They were named Jacob and Esau. Esau was the elder and would have inherited the birthright, but he foolishly was enticed into selling his birthright to his brother Jacob for a mess of pottage. When he realized Jacob had deceived him in the matter of the birthright, he was angry and bitter. Leaving his father's house, he went out and married a daughter of Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian. From that union came the people referred to in Scripture as the Edomites, who were the forefathers of the Arabs of today. As the descendants of Abram through Ishmael, they continue to claim the land that God covenanted to give to Abram and his descendants through Isaac. The enmity and conflict that developed between Ishmael and Isaac, and Ishmael's mother Hagar and Isaac's mother Sarah, continued in the conflict between Jacob and Esau, and has continued ever since. It is manifest today in the entrenched animosity and conflict between the present-day nation of Israel and the Arab Muslim world. It has become known as the Middle East conflict. And to date, all human efforts to end it have ended in stalemate or failure. But there's more to the ancient story. Isaac Abram's legitimate heir had 12 sons. The younger, named Joseph, was sold into slavery in Egypt by his older brothers. Later, Palestine was again afflicted by another famine, and once more word went out that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob's sons journeyed to Egypt to obtain corn. While there, they encountered their younger brother Joseph, who, through the providence of God, had risen to the second in command to Pharaoh of Egypt. Jacob and his entire household moved to Egypt to obtain corn and be reunited with Joseph. They were welcomed in Egypt by Joseph and Pharaoh, and there they prospered. Years passed until, as the Bible record says, there arose another king who knew not Joseph. The new Pharaoh became alarmed at the number and prominence of the Israelites and feared that unless restrained, they would ultimately dominate the land. He therefore appointed taskmasters over them and decreed that henceforth they should be the slaves and servants of the Egyptians. As a result, they found themselves in a state of bondage from which they were powerless to recover even their freedom to worship and serve the God of their fathers. They were still the people of God by reason of the Abrahamic covenant, but they were in an alien environment, powerless to stop the trend that was threatening them with destruction. Their ultimate deliverance through the divine intervention of God is a matter of history. It is one of the greatest examples of the mercy and goodness and providence of God towards those who are his people, to whom he has given his covenant promise to preserve and keep them as his own. I come back to what I said at the outset. Christians have become more and more intermeshed with the unchristian materialistic society of our times. The lure of corn in Egypt is something many Christians find hard to resist, but the consequences are the same today as in the past. There's a price to be paid for the corn. Those today who are the people of God through faith in Jesus Christ are discovering the materialistic society of our times is increasingly hostile to our Christian Judaic traditions. There are entrenched trends in that society which not only are anti-Christian, but contain the seeds of its own self-destruction, spiritually, morally, socially, economically, and politically. Both the Christian minority and the secular majority that dominates society are being swept along by relentless tides towards the ultimate destruction of society itself. Man's best efforts to recover himself from these trends are proving futile. We're rapidly reaching the point of no return. We need a deliverer who is wiser and stronger than we are, if deliverance is to become a reality. Our hope lies in the divine intervention of God, who is the same yesterday and today, and the same as when he made the promise to ancient Israel, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It is clear from this that the key to national recovery by divine intervention is in the hands of the Christian minority. Our appeal through these broadcasts, especially to the Christian people of this nation, is to respond to that divine promise before it is too late. Every Christian in this country should spend time in prayer each day, entreating God to spiritually revive his people, that they may be effective in seeking his intervention on behalf of our nation and its people. But remember, you have no access to God in prayer unless and until you acknowledge your need of his forgiveness and receive his Son, Jesus Christ, into your life as your personal Savior and Lord. I appeal to you to take at least that first all-important step today. If you've never done so before, bow your head as our invitation hymn is sung and ask Christ to come into your life to be your personal Savior and Lord from this hour on. May God bless you.
I trust the Lord used the previous message to draw you closer to Himself and to help you to be encouraged in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we continue to be concerned about those who do listen to our broadcast. We trust that those of you who have been believers over the years have been encouraged, and we pray that the Word of God will continue to bless you and help you today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing. And to those who have never received Christ personally, this is Easter, and of course, this is the time where the Lord Jesus fulfilled His goal of going to the cross. The purpose for Him coming and be born in a manger and living a sinless life was to go to the cross and bear each of our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. And as He hung between heaven and earth, He paid the hell that we deserve for all our sins. He took it upon Himself. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Scripture says. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. Old things pass away. All your sins are forgiven. You have a new life. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a new opportunity. Also, all of us can have our faith increased and even blessed by ordering our copy of Palm Sunday to Easter. I know that you'll not be disappointed by receiving this free gift from our ministry. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And you can hear previous broadcasts of Canada's National Bible Hour. Please remember us in your prayers, and please pray that God will continue to sustain us financially so that we can continue this broadcast into the future. May the Lord bless you throughout this week, and I trust you'll continue to sense His presence and do His work.